The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4. Nope. Ecclesiastes 3, 4 teaches there's a time to laugh. Now, what does that mean? That's what it means. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think, we hope, before this show is over. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Why not? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk love with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. And here it is, our Thursday question, which does not change nor will not change the entire year, even the very last week of the year. Here's the question. Are we expecting more in 2024? Are you expecting more? Is your faith operating in expectancy? Or are you just offering up a prayer and said, well, I've done my part. Now I'm done. Are you believing that God has an answer and that wants to answer? Do you believe that the Lord answers prayers? If you don't, then you don't have faith. If you don't have faith, you can't please him. Are we expecting more in 2024? Yes or no? Or are you going around like an Eeyore expecting a poke in the eye with a sharp stick? Oh my, it's my birthday. Okay, don't do that.
Oh, I'm not expecting more.
That's a good, very good. Wait, golf clap.
Thank you.
Nice job there. Nice job. All right, here it is. Keeping it simple as we can. If you, by the way, have an opinion on that process, or if you have an opinion on something else, you know, we're trying to encourage one another as we see the return of Christ getting closer and closer. I know all the stuff that's going on around me. I know all the stuff that's going around in the world. Here's a really big, fat challenge for many people. I just don't care compared to getting closer to the Lord. That compared to getting closer to the Lord. Get that? All right, here it is. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Yeah.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday?
Yes, it is Thursday. That is good. See, because of your car, you're all messed up. You're all like going, yes, what day is it? What's going on? And did you have a moment there where you weren't sure if you were going to clap or give an awe?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
It's been a wild week. I'll say
that. It's your turn for a wild week.
Yes,
huh?
Yep. Yeah, you had your moving week, and I'm having my, it's time for a new car week.
It's just brilliant. And I will say that my moving week, now that it's like getting here in 30 to 35 minutes, wow. Wow. I have my stuff done way ahead. I'm really happy about this. Anyway, we'll move on from that. Listen, if you want to call, you can call, and you should call, because saying hi to Jam and Jacob is cool, right? Talking to him is like relaxing and chillaxing. Nice guy. Super guy. All right, here it is. Maybe you don't want to call, but maybe you want to text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. One more time, only slower and maybe less professional. 214-210-8483. Okay, so you can do that, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, my name, at the A with a circle. He must increase, one altogether from john330.org, because we're a nonprofit entity. Here it is. You can call us, you can text us, you can email us. So if you're in San Diego, it's 1137. If you're in Denver, it's 1237. If you're in Dallas, it's 137. If you're in Detroit, it's 237. Those are the times that are available to you. If you're on a submarine, I have no idea where you are on the planet. I cannot give you a time frame. It could be any of the, it could be one out of 12 different hours. I do not know. Here's the bottom line. Maybe you've got a prayer request, something that you need prayer for. We are having phenomenal success in praying for people. I don't care what anybody says. There's just, it's super easy in my brain. See, I've got these one of these really easy brains. Okay, here's the easy brain. Follow this, right? If I pray 10 times and there are two answers to those prayers, like really like bona fide answers, then why am I not praying 100 times to get 20 answers or 1,000 times to get 200 answers? I just like, how does that? It just works. I don't care. That's just simple. So if you've got a prayer request, we want to be able to pray for you. We don't know how the Lord will answer, but we believe he will answer. He will not do it according to your desire, in the sense that it won't be your methodology, and it will not be your timing, and it doesn't have to be. Just ask Mary and Martha, who thought that Jesus should have been there earlier and done the healing differently. That's what people cannot do. Do you understand? You've got to pray before the Lord and then believe the Lord, but surrender it to how he answers it. When Jesus prayed, he was like, boy, I'd really like this cup to pass right by me. That's what I'd like, but not my will, but thy will be done. Are you going to follow a better example than Jesus? No, never. So prayer request-wise, phenomenal, phenomenal. Okay, we'll be doing that. All right, additionally, we're going to do praise reports, which I'm going to share in a little bit, two praise reports, one that was written in by Jeanette, another from Will. I got his permission to share that. I'll be sharing that in just a minute. If you've got something you just want to share, something's on your heart, it's totally awesome. We love it. We love it. We love it. That's great. Let's fellowship together. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your denomination is. We have one Heavenly Father. We are blood relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. We drink of one Holy Spirit. In fact, I've been telling you that the Scripture says to keep the unity. I found another passage that talks about maintaining the unity that already exists in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Kind of wish I did that for my doctorate. Anyway, I did something else. That's not the point. We do have somebody on the phone. Let's send them on through and see what's happening. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? And that voice sounds strangely familiar. That's like that same guitar sound that everybody has when they play. You ever hear them say it's the same song every guitarist plays before they start their band? They strum it, and then you hear ding, 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 as they tune it.
Yep. Yeah, that was Deborah. So, Deborah, if you please call back, I'll send you through.
Call back, Deborah. All right. Well, we love Deborah. So that's like, you know, no issues there. So here's what I want everybody just to stay on top of just in this whole process, okay? praying, we seek the Lord, praising, we give honor to the Lord. When you share a praise report, I have to tell you this, it reinforces it in your own life. Even though I didn't share the best on that angel story yesterday, it still reinforces that it happened and it strengthens me. It blesses other people, but most importantly, it gives glory to God. And that's the big thing. So I do have two praise reports that I am going to share. One of them is from Will, who's a faithful brother in the Lord, a terrific prayer, a terrific intercessor. And so we've been praying for Will's mother-in-law. And so Will got back to us and told us or communicated that they finally got a good report on her lung cancer, which is phenomenal to get a good report on lung cancer. If you can get anything good out of lung cancer, and that is clap, clap, praise, praise, because that's a praise report for somebody dealing with cancer. Is that cool or what? Right? That's pretty cool. Additionally, Will communicated that the doctor that they're dealing with is a Christian. So that makes it just that much better, even when the doctor giving affirmation that, hey, something's going on that's totally awesome in this process. So we just have a big heart of thanks and praise. It's not Will that did it, but we know Will is a part of that agency that the Lord used, and we're praying with him, and so he's standing up there. We're behind him encouraging. We just think it's an awesome praise report to have anybody who's got any kind of cancer that is having improvement. That's a blessing. Okay. The other praise report comes from Jeanette, and she has a praise report, and she said it's public, so that's why I'm sharing. She received a blessing just the other day at her doctor's appointment. Her blood pressure was substantially less than what her family is or anybody around her. I mean, it's really, really good numbers. And she says, I'm the only one in my family who's not on blood pressure prescription meds, which is really good for an elderly woman. And then here's what she wrote after that. Woohoo! So let's have a clap for two great praise reports on the Lord giving grace to Jeanette and helping Will with his mother-in-law. So praise the Lord for that. Let's have some clappies. Clappy, clappy. Where's the clappy? Clappy. Yay! There it is. There's the clappy. What, did it get stuck? Yeah, did it get stuck again? See, our equipment's not old, but when the dinosaurs were pulling in to register their name, never mind. I think that pretty much communicates it pretty well, doesn't it?
One of the funniest moments with the sound effects was when I remember one show, I pressed the applause and it wouldn't play, and I pressed it again and it played like 3 or 4 times at once. So it just sounded like a 1,000 people clapping in one.
That's awesome. All right, so Deborah, if you want to call back in, call in anytime. We'd love to hear from you. You know that. You are one of our faves. All right, let's get into the Word of God. We love the Word of God. The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Try this on. This is a great thing to have on your bumper sticker or on your T-shirt or anything else, and that is simply this. God created the universe. He can write a book. Okay, great. I get more smiles from that than you could imagine. People drive by and laugh because it's true. Like, if he created the universe, the dude can write a book. Hello? That's not even a deep theology. That's more like, yes, if I stick my hand in the fire, it will burn my hand. I mean, it's like, okay, got it. All right, let's get into Jude. Now, this part's kind of tough, and I want you to be prepared for it. We're in Jude. We are in, so Jude doesn't have any chapters. It's just one chapter per se, but it does have some multiple verses, obviously, and we're in verse 8. And this is what we're talking about, verse 8 and 9. And I want to teach you something a little bit about spiritual warfare. It's pretty cool. So just follow along with this. It says this in verse 8. Yet in the same way these dreamers defile their bodies, they reject authority, and they slander glorious beings. Listen to what I said. Yet in the same way these dreamers defile their bodies, they reject authority and slander glorious beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he disputed with the devil over the body of Moses, did not presume to bring a slanderous charge against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you." So this is a huge, huge, huge important teaching. So Jude is communicating that these individuals that he's talking about that are just warped, fake, unreal Christians. They're Sinos. Okay, everybody know what a rhino is? Okay, well, these are Sinos. Christian in name only. They have no idea who Jesus is, and they don't care. So he talks about these people, and he says, these are dreamers. They defile their bodies, they reject authority, and they slander celestial beings. So I want to say something about that. That's referring to authoritative prophets as well as angelic beings. So kind of both are in play here. People are like, no, it's got to be one. It's got to be the other. No, it's never like that. Stop that. So there's authoritative prophets who speak under the unction or under the leading or under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They're in one classification. Then there's these angelic beings who give messages from the Lord. Just think of the book of Daniel. Hello. And they give messages from the Lord. And these people who are in this defile themselves by speaking of celestial beings and powerful prophets in meth. They don't even know. They don't even get it. So in contrast, one of the things that we learn in this text is that the most powerful angelic being that we are aware of does not slander Satan himself. So before we get into the deeper, better, cooler part, I just want you to be aware of this. That should give us pause when considering our own speech. What do I mean by that? Sometimes we're a little, maybe, you know, look at, I'm guilty of this. I'm in a profession or I'm calling, I would prefer to call it, a calling that gives me the opportunity to speak a great deal in a public format. And I have a lot of fun in me and I like to clown around a lot. You guys know that. But I also have to be careful because sometimes I can go too far, and I have gone too far, and sometimes I don't go far enough. But the idea is that you got to consider our own speech. When we, if these people who are talking about prophets and angels and so on and so forth, if these people are just willingly speaking without reference, but Michael the archangel restrains his words when it comes to Satan himself, then shouldn't that give us a sense of pause? Shouldn't we be thinking, whoa, perhaps we should just slow it down, Sparky, so that we're not saying too many things that we maybe perhaps ought not to say? That makes me think, wow, I got to be careful. If Satan is not even permitted to just go around slamming, or if Michael's not permitted to go around slamming Satan, I got to be careful about what I say. Because I say things I should be careful saying. And even in prayer sometimes I have to go, Lord, I'm sorry if I'm saying this wrong. I do that. I think that's just honest, but that's just how I think of it. All right, so we do have somebody who's calling in. I don't know if they're going to come on the line or not. We're going to find that out in a second. If not, we're just going to fire through because this next part of the teaching is really great, a really great lesson in spiritual warfare. So let me check with Jacob and see what he wants to do and see if we want to have somebody come on the line. Okay, he's still working with the person, and we will give him an extra second. So this is called the radio stall. Hold on. All right, so let me go on forward then. All right, so let me go forward in this. So let me help you understand something when it talks about Satan and how Michael dealt with him. Okay, it says very specifically, when the archangel Michael was disputed with the devil over the body of Moses, he did not presume to bring a slanderous charge against him, but simply said, the Lord rebuke you, which, by the way, was what Jesus basically said to Satan. Okay, so there's three super cool things that you need to catch on this. Michael, the archangel, had a dispute with the devil. Do you know when Satan is kicked out of heaven, God doesn't get up to do it. Michael does it. You understand that, right? God's just like, okay, Michael, kick him out. That's number one. So that tells you how authoritative and powerful Michael is in the process. Number two, they had a dispute over the body of Moses. Didn't you ever wonder about that? What do you mean they had a dispute about the body of Moses? You can do all the research you want. There is the understanding that where Moses was buried was not allowed to be revealed to mankind. Want to take a guess why? Want to just like go out there on the limb and say, well, why didn't they let people know where the bones of Moses was buried? Israel was famous for worshiping what they ought not. And sometimes the Lord will hide it or remove it so that people don't fall into it. That's another way to get out of the temptation is not to let that. Do you remember it says, lead us not temptation, deliver us from evil? And so they're having a dispute over the bones of Moses. Why? Because if anybody grabs the bones of Moses and puts it up on a pedestal, guess what Israel's going to do? Right? That's like, okay, that's a bad plan. So there's a dispute between the most powerful angel and the most evil being, between Michael and between Satan, over the bones of Moses. Fascinating. It's really quite fascinating. And then it says in that next portion of the verse, he did not presume to bring a slander charge or slanderous charge against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So in fact, we learn from this letter that Michael, the archangel, simply says, the Lord rebuke you. This might be a more effective strategy for many of us to adopt, rather than attempting to engage in any kind of conversation with Satan. I've been involved in different ministries, deliverance ministries as well, and they're like, well, they got to talk to you. They got to do this. They got to do this. And it's like, look, if Satan is the father of lies, what makes you think he can't lie? So it's like, it's kind of dumb to think that you can get into that. In the conversation that Adam and Eve had, or specifically Eve, all Satan did was lie. So it's like, that's a dumb idea. Here's the real appropriate way in spiritual warfare to deal with the enemy. Instead of calling him out and calling him names and saying how much you dislike him, which it's not that hard to figure out if you're a Christian, you just do exactly what Michael did, right? So there's rather attempting to engage with Satan in conversation, which could be dangerous by itself because he is the father of lies. You should just use the same thing. When a temptation arises in you, when there's something that comes your way, when Satan's coming against you, when there's evil coming in your direction, here, just use these three words. The Lord rebuke you. Why? Because they work. When it talks about resisting the enemy, the word resist in the Greek means to keep from giving in. So what Satan is trying to do is drop temptations wherever he can, however he can. And I know people think, well, he can never bring that in my mind. Sure. So when a guy is walking down the street and a beautiful girl walks by and the guy looks at the girl, everything's fine until the thought comes in. Of course, Satan is trying to create a temptation. The temptation is not the sin. And so that point where you go, I wasn't thinking that, you just know it's gone to another place. Where it becomes sin is when a person has that temptation and embraces it and receives it and accepts it and then starts to build upon it, then it becomes sin. Instead, what we ought to be doing when these things take place is simply saying, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. No. And, you know, it was so funny because years ago, Nancy Reagan had a program where she did just say no. Remember, just say no? And then a lot of the people left of the universe were like, just say no, just say no, just say no. Isn't that funny that that's exactly what it says in 1 and 2 Timothy? Just say no to ungodliness. That's what it says. That wasn't hers. She didn't invent it. That's so silly. Hey, here's the answer. Just say no. The answer is no. And so when the enemy comes against you and throws things at you, and I'm not just talking about sex, I'm talking about money, lying, I'm talking about all forms of deceit, all forms of pride, all forms. On a regular basis, I'm well aware that this kind of position puts you in a place where it's easy to get into the pride line. It's easy. It's super easy. Guess what? A quick review of my own sins brings me down to the level of where I need to be. I am a sinner saved by grace. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just waiting here for you to come back. Okay? The idea behind this is we have to resist. We have to push back against it. You have to say no. But you don't have to get into this big conversation. You don't have to build a fire unto it. You don't have to build a painting unto it. Watch this. This is what Michael did. The Lord rebuke you. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. That's James 4:7. You submit to God by placing yourself under his authority and surrendering to God. You resist the enemy by not giving in, and because you're submitted to God, you have the ability, the power, the anointing, the blessing to say no. And if you really want to get deep into it and spiritual and super psyche about the whole thing, super, you know, like I psychologically going to say, then say the Lord rebuke you. Or just say no, Satan. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all the power of the Lord. And it's the power of the Lord in you. And you have to surrender to the Lord to have that power active. And I don't care what the temptation is. I don't care whether you're a man, a woman, a young man, a young woman, an old woman, doesn't matter. Same process for everybody. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You want to resist him? Use a great tactic that was used by Michael the Archangel. The Lord rebuke you. That's it. Don't go any deeper or any farther, because you don't need to. You understand that? Okay. Deep stuff, right? Okay, so if you are in San Diego, or if you are in Denver, or if you are in Detroit, you just go to hemustincrease.org. We didn't do one. So just go that way. If you're in Dallas or on the app, just hang out. We'll take a short break. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
The David Spoon Experience.
You should see Gabriel, because he's just running everything. He has to run to this thing, run to this thing. It's great to see it, because I just love that the Lord's bringing him in this way. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Yes, they are. So we're going to have them come forward, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, Dr. Spoon. This is Deborah.
Deborah. Take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Anyway. All right. I hope you're getting a kick out of the show today. This is a fun one today. All right, you ready? All right, here you, this is a good one. Which of David's wives was described as very beautiful to look upon?
I believe it was Bathsheba.
That is correct! You are right!
Yay.
2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. That's exactly what it says. Excellent job! By the way, how you doing, Deborah? How are things going for you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm doing a lot better, and, you know, things are going well.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I want everybody to keep praying for Deborah. Don't stop praying for the audience. One of the things I came up with today when I was praying is everybody should be praying that the Lord would just help one another. Help the people. Help the people, Lord.
Yes,
help the people.
I do pray that, and I do pray for the audience all the time. So.
I love it, and I love that you do that, and I love that you call in. And like I said, you are the best guesser we have ever had. So excellent job.
You know, I always thought it was funny that David saw her bathing and her name was Bathsheba. I always thought that was kind of funny.
That's so funny. I didn't even catch that. That's funny. He saw her bathing. Her name is Bathsheba. There you go. I'm using
all
that.
Right. Well, y'all have a good day. God bless.
Thanks. God bless.